Welcome back to Psukei HaDaf. We are learning Brachos Daf Nun Vav today. This is a daf which is replete with psukim. In fact, there are 38 psukim on the daf in total. We're going to be focusing on one of the psukim on Nun Vav and Aleph, and the pasuk is found in Yechezkel, pasuk Perek Chav Dalet, pasuk Gimel, and it reads as follows: Umeshal es beis hameri masho, and you'll further speak an allegory to the rebellious breeds. Vamar talehem, you'll say to them. So says God, Shafois hasir shafois, v'gam yotzoik b'mayim. Put the cauldron on the fire, put it on, and then pour water into it. The Gemara uses this in the context of saying, the Gemara has just previously said that there were three shalomos, and that's three types of peace that a person sees in their dream. They see the image of a river, a kettle, or a bird, a river, a pot, and a bird. There'll be an expression of shalom, of peace. And in fact, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi goes on to say that if a person wakes up and saw a kedera, a pot, in their dream, they should immediately say in the morning, Hashem tishpois shalom lanu, that Hashem should pour the peace upon us before he, the pasuk of Yechezkel, which is our pasuk, shafois hasir shafois, put the pot on and fill it up. Now, why is it important to avoid the pasuk in Yechezkel? Meaning to say, it sounds like there's open interpretation here. When a person sees a kedera, there's a possibility of there being a negative and a positive interpretation. And we're supposed to be choosing the positive interpretation. What is the negative interpretation? What is this pasuk in Yechezkel talking about? So this is actually one of the last prophecies before the destruction of Yerushalayim. And as many of the prophecies of Yechezkel go, it is very much a show and tell. It is very much a demonstration as much as it is a words as well. And he has how it works. We're told that this is actually Bashanah HaTishis. It's in the 9th year. And we're actually on the 10th of Teves, a day which, of course, is going to be relevant to the Jewish calendar as part of the breaking of the siege, as part of the actual laying siege to Yerushalayim. And he's told the following. He is told to the people of Yerushalayim that they're supposed to take a pot, and they're going to fill up that pot with water, and they're going to put into it the best cuts of the meat. They're going to put the shoulder, they're going to put the thigh, they're going to put all the best cuts of meat, and they're going to put it on the boil, and they're going to put the bones of the sheep as part of the fuel underneath this pot, and they're going to allow it to burn. And then he says, this is the nimshal, this is what this metaphor means. Woe to the city, this city of blood that has poison in it. The only way to remove the poison is to take out the better pieces of meat and leave the poison to burn at the bottom. Because in the end of the day, it's going to be that this pot can only be emptied bit by bit, and the blood will be left when it's poured out and everything will be burnt. Everything will be incinerated until everything dries up in the heat. What is going on over here? What's this mashal? What does this mean? There are many different levels. We're going to just take a look at the way the Mitzudas David explains this. And that is that up till now in Perek Yud Aleph, the nation of Israel had called Yerushalayim the pot, and they the meat inside. And the way that they used their mashal was to say that we're safe. Ultimately, even if Babylon comes along, even if Babel comes, we're safe. We're protected by the walls of the pot. We're in Yerushalayim. So Yechezkel says, you know what? Let me explain to you how it works. You are going to be in the pot of Yerushalayim. And you're going to have the best of cuts of meat. You're going to have all the royalty, all the nobles who think that they can withhold a siege of Babel by trying to fight against them, despite the advice of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Well, you know what? You know what's going to happen? Is, you know what that's built upon? It's built upon the fire and the fuel of the destroyed bones of the same sheep, meaning the lower echelons of society. One of the crimes of the time at the destruction of the first base of Migdash was the fact that the upper nobility were taking advantage of the lower classes, and they were feeding off their taxes, off their oppression. So the pot is burning right now, like you said, but it's burning off the fuel of the lower class who cannot survive the siege. And they're going to be the ones who are sacrificed, both in terms of financially and in terms of their food and in terms of their lives, because of this battle which you brought yourselves into. But you know what? There's going to be blood in this pot, because you aren't going to be ashamed of murder. Yirmiyahu was thrown into the pit. He was almost murdered numerous times by these people, and so any dissenters were treated in a similar way. But The only way it's going to work, the only way to remove the poison is to remove the good pieces from the pot. And that's what's going to happen. There's two stages of exile, as we know historically. There was a stage at the time of Golus Yechoniah where the king of Babel took 10,000 of the best of Yerushalayim and took them to Babel. And then there was the ultimate battle where Babel destroyed the city and killed almost everybody else and took the remainder to exile in Babylon. What is fascinating to note is that of that first exile were the ones who were the leaders of the next round. Meaning, the first stage of exile, in which Yechoniah went to exile, it was Yechoniah's grandson, whose name was Zerubbabel, who came back later on to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. It was in that first Golus that Yechezkel was exiled himself. He was the prophet in exile in Babylon. Why? Because he left then. What seems to be fascinating over here is that the only way you can get rid of the poison is to leave it in the burning pot until it's incinerated completely, and all that is removed is the good pieces. This is the mashal, and this is perhaps why it is the Gemara is so ardently, so definitely, carefully avoiding this association with the kedera, with the pot in the dream. Just as a footnote, as a fascinating note, this Gemara, of course, is the name of the book that Rabbi Aaron Feldman wrote based on the Vilna Gaon, on this Gemara of the river, the kettle, and the bird, and the three types of peace which they can represent in the ultimate experience. And the question is what are they? Why do these three images represent peace? What is it about them that represent two or three different levels of a relationship? In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.